Happy New Year, everybody. Welcome to the Tuesday, January 17th, 2023 special meeting. And this is hybrid and we're new here. We have council member Thomas McLeod on the OWL and online. And I'm joined also by council member Deshaun Quick, Kathy Hogarty, the chair. Welcome to this year's PCD committee meeting. The first item on our agenda is a grant contract with Makers Community Housing.
Thank you, Chair.
Yeah.
Good evening, Chair and Council members. Thank you for giving us some time to walk through this. So I'm going to do a relatively brief presentation tonight to leave space for any comments, questions you have on it. But this is hopefully a familiar item, just a continuance of that. So in a little bit of a quick background, this is a continuance of a acceptance of a grant from the Department of Commerce for research into research mission. Let's add a little bit of the items here. Middle housing as the overarching topic, being looking at primarily middle housing types within certain zoning districts within our city, so analysis of that, as well as look at anti-displacement, racial equity analysis policies within potential changes to our zoning code and policy suggestions for, again, allowing more middle housing within that and outreach to community-based organizations as part of that process. So this grant fulfills some of the requirements of the overall periodic comprehensive plan update. So that was part of the thrust for staff pursuing it, as seeing it's beneficial in multiple ways to bring additional services on board and assistance and expertise for staff to accomplish some of those aims and be more informed with the decision making for the city. So that was kind of the parameters of the grant. From there, upon the acceptance of that by council on October 17th of last year, we went back and solicited services for that, interviewed two firms, and ultimately selected Makers as the best candidate to provide those services and put together a contract. So tonight in your packet, what we included is the contract with the Washington State Department of Commerce, so the original funding source for this grant. We did not yet have prepared or still finalizing the particulars of the actual contract with Makers, but that will be hoping that you move it forward tonight to Council of the Whole in the packet for said meeting. So tonight we're asking for to move the item to Council of the Whole and then to a vote on a special council meeting on the 23rd of this month. This is a grant for $130,000 total with the Department of Commerce funding it. It does not have a match from the city required. So there's a little bit of a breakout. I can explain more on the dollar total between the CBOs as well as the consultant services. But I'm going to cut myself off here without rambling any too much further and take any questions you have at this point.
Okay. Let's start with Councilmember Quinn, and I'll go back and forth. We'll start with you this time.
Thank you. Councilmember Quinn, a.k.a. not on the L. Well, Neil, I think, is this your first presentation?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Great job.
Thank you.
I had a couple of high-level questions. Very familiar with this item because it came before. We kind of talked high-level. And I noticed kind of in the detail, it talks a lot about the intent from the legislature and the Department of Commerce. And I'm just wondering, in addition to that, or if there's flexibility around considering kind of the bubbling up conversation, not so much that that's where we would go, but just an awareness that we've kind of reached a space with AWC on what would be considered. So that's my first comment. Second, there has been some groundwork done, honestly, by this department and also the community on the Congress for New Urbanism and that work. So I'm hoping that we're going to have it also, because it lists kind of the bullet points of what it covers, but informed by like what we've already heard, what we've already asked from community, what we've all already built into the previous comp plan and considerations, because there was a lot of money, a lot of process, but also a lot of participation that I would hate to get lost. And then we're like, just restarting everything without considerations of like on the ground, because I think in order, if we ever do get to a compromise, it is factoring all those things into consideration. So that was a long dissertation, but I really wanted to kind of describe the holistic nature and is that a consideration as well as what's right here on the paper. And she tied me.
Is that, are you talking like about the urban, the
Congressman who urban?
Yeah. Right, that we should be looking at. They were done a long time ago, but it still holds true. And so, right. I don't know. I'm going to talk about some other things that fold into this since it's such a moving target. Yeah, that's what I'll talk about.
Yes, question. So I'm just wondering how.
No, maybe Neil, you want me to kind of
jump in?
Sure. I mean, so we plowed this ground before, right? So there is definitely the TIB. There's also that our housing options study that we spent some time working in. So we're intending this to be informed and bring that information forward. You know, some of this is breaking a little bit of new ground where we're talking about single family, and I think that's really been where the new legislation is targeted. So we will stay nimble and hear what we hear from the legislature about that. Yeah.
Great. And then the second question is just more of, and again, everything is based on dates, but, you know, like nobody thought we'd have a pandemic and then what that would actually do to the economics. And so how do we build in the economics here? I guess I am in the hell. And or consideration. And I guess when I ask these questions, it is sometimes there could be a planning document that just people react to that you made this up or there was no kind of memorialized conversation with community or others. And then also the consultants that you're working with, it would also be good for them to be aware of the efforts because there were a lot. So it sounds like that's the case. And so, but the economic question, I think that's kind of probably got to be a challenge for everyone, but just wondering how we factor that reality, rents going up here, you know, how are we factoring that realistic on the ground? Like, this is the lived experience.
You know, I think we do need to be careful about reading too much of our very momentary economic situation is into the big picture. Like, when we did the South Center plan, and they were doing this analysis saying, you know, no one's going to do anything more than three stories. And, you know, this is kind of crazy pipe dreams. And then, you know, the market had to come around, but then we did see that type of development. And we're glad that we wrote the code to allow for that. Yeah. Right? So we want to make sure that we're thinking about what's happening now, but understanding that conditions are keep changing, right? We want something that works for the long term. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Council Member McLeod, question.
Yeah, quickly. First of all, I don't think I've met Neil before, so hello. Nice to see you. Second, in the analysis, you mentioned about the selecting Makers as the most qualified firm. I didn't read any more about Makers, but can you just elaborate? What is it that you liked about Makers as to why your selection or recommendation is to use them?
Yeah, of course. Thank you, council member. I'm going to, I guess, look towards the owl, so I'm facing you. So they have pretty good experience in a lot of different planning efforts, middle housing types being one of them. So there's Makers as the lead as well as a sub-consultant. They'd be contracting that is really kind of an industry expert and developer and can look at some of the economic backing of we'd like to see this middle housing type or we see this as feasible, but what does that look like on an economic basis? We do a performer kind of real estate level analysis of if we allowed this type of form or this triplex, let's say, on a parcel such as this, would that be viable? So it seemed like they were partnering. They were thinking about the right questions. They were bringing in the previous housing action plan and CMU work that had been done.
Throw me off, huh?
Marrying that good
foundation
of what the previous efforts have been done as well. So, as well as just their emphasis on public engagement as well. I think we were pretty impressed by the approach and some of the things they brought with it. I'll definitely leave space here, if you don't mind, too, for Nora and Nancy, who were involved heavily in the interview process as well, if they have other input or things to add there.
Yeah, I would echo the public engagement aspect. They they're very adept at public engagement and very accomplished there. They also have because of the nature of their work, they have a very broad spectrum view on planning. They're not sort of, for lack of a better word, pigeonholed, owl holes. And they tend to see things in a way a lot more elements of a comp plan interrelate. So I'd say that's, they've been around for a long time. They're very reliable and good reputation.
Okay, thank you for that. I'm in support of this. I think it's a great opportunity, and you know it's a grant, so who's going to turn that away? You know, I think it'll help us move some forward. So I'll yield back to the chair.
Thank you. So we've talked about the memo and then the grant and the timelines on the grant. That was last October. So as Laurel said to me this again, so I can keep it and sort of keep track of it. Yeah, it's good, and I'm glad to hear Makers is somebody that you are really highly satisfied with, it sounds like. I'm really interested in the timing. This is something that none of us have any control over, but so we're going to be having a state legislature that is trying to, this is a world, according to me, trying to reach in and sort of and really do things that we want the cities to be doing. And so here is our proactive way of saying, hey, we are addressing this. You guys know this, right? I'm just saying it. I know our lobbyists can be, Dave will be talking about it. AWC lobbyists will be doing that. So this whole thing is going to be morphing. And I see the, like the racial equity report and housing review. I went over this again. We had this last October, but that would be the same. But then the proposed housing element policy, I think that's where it's going to be the wild west of policy right now. And so I know that you'll be doing a good job of trying to stay on top of this. So I'm just acknowledging that. The thing that I think is interesting is that you're going to have a draft ordinance to increase density in transit nodes and so forth. This is what we had last fall. But this is probably going to look different depending on what the state legislature does. So it'll be really interesting to see how this turns out. And Makers is going to have to spend a lot of time with their listening to the state legislature and keeping on touch with that and our lobbyists or however they do that. So, yeah. It will be interesting, necessary, and this is something that it's really good that we're doing, and thank goodness for the grant. I see you've got 120 grand for just the comp.
125, yes.
Oh, 125 for the plan in general. Yeah. Is that going to be enough? More than what we have in the budget.
Oh, good.
All right. Well, I don't have any other questions. And so this was to go on to a consent agenda.
Committee of the whole.
Oh, committee of the whole. Oh, all right.
And then, Chair, if I may add one detail I forgot to ask earlier. It's just if you want, we hope you do move it forward. And if you'd like to, just if you'd like a presentation at the committee of the whole, or if you'd like to do the report out as chair of yourself.
So I'm trying to remember what we did when we, okay, so this, the majority of this has already come through, and the main thing right here is just it's Makers. But I'm going to ask you and Tom, what do you think about another touch point for the council with it? Do you think, how important? Laurel, you go ahead and weigh in, because you have a, you know, you have your finger on the pulse of the council.
I mean, I was going to suggest maybe putting it on consent. They did just receive this presentation in the fall.
Okay.
But on the other hand, it's a significant topic for this year.
It is a significant topic. Yeah, I can report out. Really, the main thing is that we're going to have to coordinate with what's going on at the legislative level. So I'll just report out and say that, unless you either of you have a different.
No, that actually makes sense. And from what I remember the last time, I thought the report, the presentation, but also the conversation kind of teed us up to be aware of this and knowing that it's a report. And if anything, it's just, you know, we're going to hire someone and they're going to talk to the community about this. So you're going to have more information as we engage the middle housing item. So I think that makes sense.
And tell me if this is correct, because I'll probably say this when I report out that this, when we do this report, it is a recommendation. You are going to do a draft ordinance, but we are not required through the grant to enact on that ordinance. I think that's important to say for people that are still reluctant to have this kind of ordinances. So I will say that too. Yeah.
Can I just add one more thing? If you remember in the heat of the middle housing, when it was just going to be imposed upon us, part of the language was that cities haven't demonstrated that they've done the work to inform these decisions. So legislature felt like they're going to go ahead and say, you got to do this because we're not seeing any movement. And so I would say that this is in continuation of the work that we've already done that maybe some of the state legislature isn't aware of. But this is also documentable memorialization that we engage specifically on this issue. And I mean, I've kind of heard back and forth that, you know, the current legislation may not go anywhere. But having documentation on the books that we've done the work is actually a good thing for a jurisdiction.
And we understand the ordinance may not wind up aligning with the state rules, but we also think it's valuable to get some ideas of how we might write an ordinance for these things and for the areas where we do have the local control, then we have some background on here's a way to regulate that we think works within our code and have some good suggestions for the council.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So we're ready to go. Yeah.
And we'll get feedback too. And that's really valuable. That'll help us with that community feedback to see what people are saying and if they're bringing up things that we hadn't thought about logistics. Or how many lots really, truly would be able to be developed into something that was higher density. Right. So, yeah, it'll be good.
Can I clarify?
Yes.
What I think I heard, which is that the council last year already approved pursuing this grant, and now this is just the contract. So we can put it on consent, not have it on the COW agenda for discussion, because the council will engage throughout the year. And you will report out?
I didn't say that specifically.
Okay.
So that you didn't miss it.
Okay.
But I think that's fine because I'll report out on it and we'll just put it on consent because we've discussed it. And it sounds like you guys think it's, you know, at the time, you know, I was in the middle of it, so I don't really know how much more we need. So, yeah. Consent. Is that good, Tom? Consent agenda? Straight to consent? All right. That'll save everybody some time. Thank you. The next item is the 23-24 Seattle Seawolves Partnership Agreement. Thank you, Neil. Thank you so much.
Thank you. That's me, Neil. Good job.
Sorry, I didn't say
that. Brandon is still at the other committee meeting, so we can postpone his items to the end of the agenda. That would be helpful.
Okay, the Economic Development Work Plan.
Thank you, Chair. And I'm not with you in person just because I was feeling a little under the weather earlier today. And so I'm just being a little bit more distant from people, but I'm not too far away. So the purpose of this item, starts on page 35 of your packet. And the purpose is simply to give you an opportunity to see what the work plan is for the economic development staff, which is basically Brandon and me. for 2023. And really, just if you have any questions, I'm happy to describe anything in more detail. This attachment there that lists our work plan, we really just simply use this for internal purposes. This is just our own little tracking device to remind ourselves what we need to work on. So there are a lot of things that are not very well described there because it's really just for our own internal use. A couple of things that are keys when you look at it, if you see the word coordinate, that means either Brandon or I consider ourselves basically like a lead on something, that we're actually coordinating something. If you see the word support, that's our code for somebody else is the lead, but we're participating or helping or something like that. And then the asterisks, if it's a single asterisk, that basically means it's a higher priority. If there's no single asterisk, it means we try to fit it in as time permits. Yeah, that's really pretty much it. But we're happy to answer any questions. And you're always welcome to ask us during the year if you hear something or you think something or you have another thought about it. And really with that, we're just happy to answer any questions you might have if you do. And if you don't, that's totally fine.
Councilmember McLeod, do you have comments, questions?
Derek, there's an asterisk on B&O tax for coordinate and minimum wage coordinate. Is that going to be kind of the same effort? You're going to just say businesses, here's some changes that have happened. How do you see that playing out?
I think it's going to play out. There is a lot of similarity in terms of the businesses, but I see it playing out separately. And the reason is they are both complicated. And I think it's helpful for the businesses for us to differentiate them. And so, for instance, because the B&O tax, the tax rate doesn't take place until January, whereas the minimum wage takes effect of the wage itself in July. So I feel like we need to get out there first and focus on minimum wage and to the businesses and the workers. And then really need to focus on that for the next few months. And then we'll probably do some kind of a preliminary thing to businesses about B&O maybe a month from now after they get the notice about the minimum wage. Give them a few weeks so that it's separate. Heavy push minimum wage the next few months, and then a light touch on B&O next month, and then a heavier touch on B&O once we kind of wrap the minimum wage rules up. Because the rules are going to, there's a lift. People think minimum wage is just a dollar amount, and that's more simple for businesses. The complexity is going to be there's a requirement in the ordinance that the businesses, if they want to add in any additional hours, that they offer those hours to part-time employees first. And that's where it gets a little bit more complicated.
I did mention to a couple of businesses about the new B&O. I think the council has voted that in. One understood it. The other person didn't like it and told me in many words, many terms, that they didn't like it. And so I'm very curious how businesses will react when you really reach out to them and share how that will share the decision and then how that will impact them.
Yeah.
And one person was quite upset.
I would like to clarify what I said. I was talking about B&O outreach just in general to all businesses, kind of letting them know. As you may remember, when the council adopted the B&O, there was also this provision for having sort of an engagement, like a stakeholder group. And so I think that work will be a little bit sooner than when I was talking about rolling it out to like all the broad businesses to start getting some kind of a business engagement group together, a stakeholder engagement on B&O.
How soon would you be reaching out just to the businesses as a whole? I feel they need time to plan for this.
Honestly, we're probably a month away from being able to do like what we did with the minimum wage was in December, Laurel drafted some public information on the minimum wage. A few of us made some suggestions and edits to that. And then, you know, Laurel posted it to the city's webpage. There's like a webpage now about the minimum wage. And so now from here on out, I'm the lead main point of contact to coordinate edits to the minimum wage webpage. I'd like to see us do something with a B&O webpage. But we probably, and then what we would do is we would email the businesses letting them know about the B&O. But we're probably about a month away from having a B&O webpage ready to go. Because right now we're really focused, there's a lot of work on the minimum wage and we need to kind of keep moving that forward right now.
Okay. Kathy, I'll yield back at this point. I may have another question.
Thank you. Councilmember Flynn.
Yeah, I'm comfortable with what's here, and I know that we're going to have a very active, thoughtful, participatory committee. I'm very, very confident with under the leadership of Councilmember Hogarty. And some of these things will really kind of dive deeper, so I don't want to necessarily take up too much time. But here's what I wanted to point out, and I'm happy that it's here, is on page 202, you listed kind of the top priority items, and land sales is on there, and I think if you wrote it a certain way, it's, you know, kind of broader land sales, and then there's the public safety land sales, because in the end, it's still land sales, and it might be good to reaffirm what we've already talked about a million times, but I'm glad to see that that's here. And then one high level question, the work of this committee, you know, we are the policy body, so this is in the form of a question. And some of the economic development plan work and some of the things under purview, there is that coordination with DCD and just like, you know, how are you planning on approaching that collaboration? Because I think probably sometimes DCD could use your participation, and then sometimes DCD doesn't need your participation. So because in the end, there's kind of a global strategy around like how do we continue to generate through our typical processes kind of growth and economic stability. So I just wanted, that's the one question I have.
Yeah, so you know, as DCD has, you know, started work on the comprehensive plan, and there is an economic element that's a chapter in the comprehensive plan. And of course, we're all trying to be efficient. So one of the things that DCD and I have talked about is it feasible for us to use this economic strategy actually in place of the economic element in the comprehensive plan so that we really, they all connect. So we are talking about that. And I think we're going to be able to get there. You know, the challenge is always time and trying to move forward with an economic development strategy, you know, and how do you make it meet the needs of an economic development strategy and also fit what's needed for a comprehensive plan. But I'm sure we could do a lot more communication-wise if we had more time and you know, but we're working on that. So I'm hopeful, and I think we'll get there, and that'll ensure that connection between those two documents. We'll really figure out if it's going to really work for both of them once we start really getting a draft of the document. And did that answer your question, or were you asking me something different?
No, that's great. And you know, Nora's in the room. And so,
uh-oh.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And you should have seen, no. just, you know, that's something I always think about, just like how you work together. It's kind of give and take. Sometimes you're not even on the same page. However, you don't have the other, we're not as successful. So I'd love to give space for, you know, Nora, if you want.
Derek and I have had lots of good conversations about how to make sure that we're not
overwhelming our community. I think there's some outreach fatigue that could happen if we're going to people again and again and asking similar or the same kinds of questions. So we're really trying to be efficient with using that, both for our sake and the community's sake. And so I think the timing in some ways, it's tight because it's a rush to do it. But on the other hand, I think there's also an opportunity here to really make sure that we go out once and do a thorough set of questions, and we're able to pull that in to the comp plan and hopefully have some efficiency there.
Thank you. Just a little more. I just thought of it. Do we anticipate potentially that there's a step of health point? And if so, I mean, I did see it on here, but.
Yeah, so.
Well, it's a D under other. I see it here as landfills.
Yeah.
Support development. Okay.
And I took it out of land sale, the land sale category, because all the policy is done on that. You know, health points, their total payment's $3.85 million. They've paid all but like $1.3 million, and that's going to come in this coming June. I have absolutely no concerns that they won't make that final payment, because if they don't, we get to keep the land and we keep the money they've paid us. So that's, you know, that money they've paid us is non-refundable. So we'll get, so the land sale by June will be all done, and I'm not worried about that. So I feel like from here on out, it's more of an issue of what development do they want on the site, and is there something where the city is needed for something special? And it, at this stage, we don't really know without, I'm sure there'll need to be some kind of a development agreement when it comes to parking.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, that's what I was asking, because, you know, they might have a use thing with their proposed development. They might have uncovered some things with their own community outreach, and I know they're fundraising, so they, you know, maybe the amount's more and they could pour more into it. So just in anticipation of engaging, but since we don't know. But I thought
I'm glad you're asking, because I see that as a huge opportunity for the city in terms of getting that development there as an anchor. It'll be high quality. The challenge that HealthPoint is running into is, you know, they know what they need to do for the medical stuff because they've done all that so many times. They have enough land that they're trying to bring in an affordable housing provider. The challenge they're facing is the affordable housing providers are interested, but they're interested to start something a few years from now, because it takes years for the housing providers to get lined up with projects and funding and all that. And so HealthPoint's trying to figure out how can they move forward with the clinic side of things and not, you know, do, you know, have a development that then can integrate when a housing provider is ready to come along, like a two-phase process. And the challenge is, how do you build that on site? Because one of the benefits of a housing provider with HealthPoint is the shared parking. So how do you develop the shared parking if you don't have a housing provider under contract? So they're really trying to work that out. But they are looking for other community partners that want to be on site. Now is the time. If you know any community partners that want to have some kind of a space in there, they want to pay, you know, a lease rate, or they want to have a condo, or this is the year for them to really connect with HealthPoint on that.
Yeah, thanks, Derek. And just thinking about the creativity and kind of innovation, you know, I think sometimes we move slowly, but sometimes we move really well. And so to see the front page of the Seattle Times today, knowing that Seattle is going to spend all this money for a big food hub where we've done a proof of concept, and I think we're better for it.
The questions that I have, thank you. Are a lot similar to what you were talking about, or along that same vein. I'm looking at this particular list and wondering, who's implementing this list? Who? What staff? Is it just you now doing this list?
So first off, Brandon and I, it's Brandon and me, basically, and we tag team things. So some things he's the lead, and some things I'm the lead, but we will work together on stuff. So let's just go down in order. So B&O tax, we've tag teamed a lot of that. When we get ready to start doing a little bit more of the communication, we'll figure out who's the actual lead on that. Minimum wage.
We don't need to go through all of them.
Oh, okay.
So I just, more big picture, thank you, though.
Sure.
So it will be you and Brandon, because I know Brandon's job title has changed, and so I'm still unclear as to what he...
Yeah, so the big change with his work toward the end of last year is he has now taken on, he was interested in kind of expanding his experience and things. So he's now the lead for project management of creating a facilities plan for the city. So that's why you're seeing him with his name on staff reports coming through on like the shops facility. And so putting together a comprehensive plan. So it's, you know, how does the funding all work? So if you remember when Rachel was the lead out of the mayor's office for the public safety plan, really Brandon stepping into that role. So, you know, he's working closely with Public Works, but when it comes to making sure all the policy all fits together, and Rachel's on the call, so she can clarify if I didn't say that correctly. So I would say that's probably about half of his time, probably, because there's a lot that needs to happen this year with the facilities plan.
So does that mean that that's taking away things that he might have done on this list before and leaving you with a bigger workload? I'm going to be just pretty upfront with this.
I mean, it's all related, you know. It's all related. Any work that happens one place, you know, just like the minimum wage coming up, that nobody was planning on the minimum wage, and you know, and now that's things that we're all working on. So sure, it's all work, and somebody's got to do it, and it all affects somebody.
So is there any other staff besides the two of you that is working on what's on these two pages?
Well, a lot of these are, some of these are ones where other staff are working. So like, for instance, on the B&O tax where it says support stakeholder engagement. So that right there, I'm saying we would support it. That doesn't mean that Brandon and I are the lead of stakeholder engagement. I mean, that would be to be determined. Under minimum wage, coordinating the initial communications of businesses would be the lead. We would be the lead on that. But I wrote support development of rules implementation, because really the attorney's office is taking the lead on that with input from finance and Rachel and David and me and Keith and a few other folks. So in some of those, we're just supporting it. We're not the lead on it.
Okay. And then, so for you looking at these two pages, what are the biggest projects? You've got asterisks by some of them that are going to take up a lot of your time, that are going to be like major projects.
So right now, the ED strategy taking a lot of my time. Minimum wage is a lot of my time. So right now in January, pretty much all my time is minimum wage and ED strategy. Land sales, Brandon's the lead on the George Long. And so that, you know, is time. He also is now going to be the lead on Long Acres. And so because of the Tenasca offer, that's going to have to come forward to council somehow. And so that'll be time. And I'll be providing support to him on those, but he'll be the lead. New Porter is up there. That's beside Mike West's property. I think that's a huge opportunity for the city. We need, you know, Mike's open to working out an agreement. And I think we don't want to, there's nothing pushing that time, but I feel like we don't want to wait too long. I think our opportunity is 2023 to get a deal and bring it to council for something, but we can delay that a few months. Experience Tukwila, basically what happens is Brandon's the lead on all that. And, you know, he's got a good consultant helping, that saves a lot of time. You can always do
more. My question is like, what are the big projects? So, and this is just to help inform us as council members.
Sure.
And also for this particular group, PCD, so we know what kind of scope you are looking at. So
yeah.
But
I think
what are the ones that are going to be taking a big chunk of time?
Those are the biggest ones.
Okay.
Think another big one that, you know, we'll get to it, it'll be the multifamily tax exemption. That'll be a big chunk of time. But frankly, we're going to kind of wait and get that as time, you know, becomes available. We need to clean up and there's Brandon, he's going to come to the meeting here. We need to clean up the parking management issue with Tukwila Village. I had a good conversation with Brian Park last week. He knows we need to get a final plan, you know, so for the next few months, we need to get that cleaned up. I think those are the biggest ones.
Yeah, again, I'm just trying to get a sense of it. That's why I'm asking.
Sure, so, no, it's really fair. That's why we're here.
Yeah, and Councilmember Quinn was asking about coordination with other departments. So that those are good questions. And other than that, these are things that you've been working on. The minimum wage and B&O are new. And economic development strategy. I know you've got your group of advisors because I know that there's, I know a couple people on it right now. So you've started that. And Vern is one of them, just so you know. You might have known that already. So that'll be great.
Small but mighty group, yeah.
Small, mighty group, yes. Did you have more questions? Mm-hmm. Tom, did you think of something else?
I wanted to follow up. Kathy, you were asking about Brandon's time, and Derek was answering that he's going to be spending time putting the facilities plan together. He may very well be qualified to do that based on his background with the city, and he may have interest in expanding his role. But is that really economic development? And what are we giving up to get that done?
Do you want
hi, Brandon. Well, that's no fun to talk about you if you're there.
These are recorded meetings, though.
So that's my question. If, you know, like I said, Brandon may be very well qualified to do this and may have interest in doing it, but aren't we kind of budgeting his time, your time to do economic development? And if he's doing the facilities plan, what are we giving up so that gets done?
I'll have a very short answer, and then other people can answer because it's all just, you know, personal opinion. I do support his work on the facilities plan, and yes, it affects how much time is available for economic development. But I don't see where the resources are elsewhere in Tukwila, and so it's sort of like I see the facilities plan is very important to the city as a whole. And I don't know where that time would come to try to get a good plan together, but that's just my perspective.
So if I can chime in as well, I mean, I agree with what Derek's saying. I mean, part of this is the expertise. I mean, the reality is Derek and I, even before this whole facilities planning discussion, are kind of the default advisors for real estate in the city that we own. So looking at what we do with it, I mean, Derek and I are usually the lead on selling or selling city property. So I think it kind of fits within it. The other thing too is I think there was a need to have not have the individual departments run their own real estate, but to have it up in the mayor's office so that we can take a holistic look at these opportunities. I think sometimes, you know, if a department runs something, they sometimes look at what they want. But if we have someone in the mayor's office, then, well, Public Works, we're going to see if we can get the police facilities, police evidence on your property as well. So that's just my initial thought.
Great. Well, thank you. So we see that this department is extremely busy, just like all the other departments. It's nice to have evidence here. So, and thank you in advance for what you're going to do this year. Any other comments about the work plan for economic development? Any questions?
We appreciate your time. We appreciate your interest. Feel free to reach out anytime during the year. And thank you. Thank you for your time.
You're welcome. All right. We are going to go back to item B, which is the Seawolves Partnership Agreement. We have Brandon here.
Thank you, Councilmember. The City Council previously approved a funding request by economic development staff for a two-year partnership agreement with the Seattle Seawolves. Member McLeod, this came through the Lodging Tax Advisory Committee and then went to the full council. You've approved the funding. The contract's over $40,000, so we need your approval to execute the agreement. The agreement is draft. We're working on some final language, but because of the time schedule and the committee and the season getting ready to start, what I would ask is you give me the okay to place it on the next consent agenda. I had asked for this. I intended to ask for this when I asked for the funding, but it was in my memo, but I forgot to bring it up at committee. So we would ask that once we have a final agreement, I'll place it on the next consent agenda that when it's ready to go.
Councilor Quinn, do you have any questions or comments?
Yeah, start to comment. Seawolves and real estate, the diversity of the work that gets done here. We approved it, and then being on finance, I remember this coming through. This is a no-brainer, so my only question, and it saves me from asking anywhere else, is, you know, the city attorney. That was the only question I had. Otherwise, we planned for this. We got support from it in the lodging tax, and we actually saw it as a council. So.
Yes, and to answer your, just the city attorney's office, you know, we have a template. If I make changes to the template, the city attorney needs to approve that as well. So I'm working with the city attorney's office on language that would work for us as well as the Seawolves on just a few things that doesn't affect substantively the contract.
Thank you. Tom, any comments or questions?
I'm 100% supportive of this. I think this is a great use of LTAC funds. So I saw it at the LTAC meeting, and I would support it going to a consent agenda.
Right, and I support it as well. So it sounds like you've got three yeses, and thank you.
Thank you.
We are done with that. And we are on to the work plan for the committee, our final agenda item.
Sure, and I will be brief. It's page 39 in your packet. You've seen this format before. It's a pretty high-level overview of items that we expect to come before committee this year. This looks like a short list, but you've got some pretty significant and weighty items, so don't be fooled that thinking it's going to be a light year. The quarters that are put here were kind of my rough estimates, trying to meet the packet deadline. Those may change a little bit. Particularly the ones in items in quarters two, because I haven't had an opportunity to really vet those with staff. But this is really presented to give you an overview of what's to come and an opportunity to ask any questions at this first meeting of the year. Thanks.
Councilmember McLeod.
I agree. This is a pretty, it's a deep list of things we'll have to dig into. I would think the permit process review could be multiple quarters, but I understand what you're saying there. We're just putting something there for now. That's one that we continue to hear community comments about, so looking forward to getting more into that, but I think it's a good plan, so thank you for putting this together. I don't have anything to add at this point to the plan.
Thank you. Council Member Quinn.
I would just say I agree with Councilmember McLeod's comments. And what I'd add to it is, it's been a while, so I could be wrong, but, you know, just kind of that check-in on the rental housing, you know, one of the things that we've gone through different forms of it over time, and maybe jurisdictions are just now getting started. I know sometimes the general public doesn't know the work that we do, but I actually look forward to, you know, what have we continued to learn about it? Because I know it's going to be an item that has come up, and even more knowing rent goes up. And we've been able to apply different strategies. So I'm really looking forward to that. And then I just wonder, and there'll probably be some legislative stuff that will come up in our process that hopefully we can kind of fit in some briefings out. Hey, here's what's coming down, especially knowing Skip and just some housing dollars. I think we're at the place where we would implement them. We'll have to deliver on our approach. But some looking forward to. So I don't have any issues. This is a deep list. I think one of these items will take significant time. So each of these items going to take significant time. Mm-hmm. Again, I look forward to this committee. Very excited about this group of folks.
All right. Thank you. So, Director Gerloff, a little formal. I have a question for you. I have a couple. Well, what actually, this is for you specifically. We had a public comment last Monday about the rental conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Was there, and of course, we don't like talk about it then, and I haven't had a chance because we don't discuss it. You guys figure out what you want to do. What did you decide is going to be staff response to that?
So Joseph Mose, our rental housing officer, reached out to those two people the next day. He got their contact information, and he went by. He wound up leaving messages because we didn't have an email, and he left his card on their door offering courtesy inspections.
Mm-hmm.
So they're out of the cycle for the whole complex to be inspected, but we can work with individual tenants and do a courtesy inspection. And then if we turn something up, that way we can go back to the landlord and say, this might be a more widespread problem, you know, and try and get them to open it up larger. As of the end of last week, they had not contacted him back about doing that courtesy inspection. One of them, I think, is due for inspection this year, if I'm right, and the other one is not, because you know, everything kind of moved down because of COVID,
right,
doing inspections. So that's where it's at. We've made an initial contact. We can follow up if we don't hear back from them, and it's like,
I have one more thing, and this might go into the housing, and this is kind of really, this is a fear I have. One of the items that I worked on years ago was the mobile home parks, and I know date-wise, we're probably running up against their life cycle. So I'm just wondering, are we prepared for that, because there is no competitive or comparable amount of money that folks can pay if they live in a mall.
I think that's one of the displacement risks that I think we're looking at as far as housing.
Yeah.
It's a tough situation. You're right, there's no comparable, obviously, to move it.
It's that quality of housing. It's hard.
And, you know, a number, probably 5 or 6 years ago at that point, you know, the building official and Jack and some outside people, we did a big sweep and we really did an upgrade to the just huge life safety issues. But things continually
deteriorated.
Right.
Sure. Thank you.
Yeah, maybe that's something that's part of the whole issue to be addressed, is, you know, that having an individual, you know, space.
Yeah, I'm just scared we'll have a crisis on our hands,
yeah,
and it'll all come at once, and it'll be like 30 people where their current living space is no longer viable.
Well, like a big fire or something.
Well, no. I mean, the Freon, I mean, all that stuff is old. So they're probably going to be falling apart soon.
And the mobile home operators, they're become very corporate. And, you know, we raise the rents every 6 months because we can. And at some point, you know, their spreadsheet says time to sell. And there are only modest ways we can really get much of that.
Yeah. So based on what you said, and knowing that the whole inspection cycle got pushed back, which you couldn't do anything about, so are you saying that you can, or you have the capacity to do complaint-based courtesy inspections?
We do. If someone says, my toilet's backing up every day for a week, we can go in. And then it's more of, is it a unit-related problem? You know, we can work with that. Or is it something that's a complex-related problem? And, you know, our code does allow us to say, you've got a life safety issue here, and we need to talk about how you're going to work that out. So
well, like that flooding at that multifamily we saw.
And we did. We tried to, like, you know, inspect them all, figure it out.
Yeah. That's really important for us to know as council members that if somebody comes to us and says that, we can say, you can contact our code enforcement department and you can have a complaint-based, or you can have an inspection of your units. And I think you do have the ball in the court of the two people that came to speak, but it might, you know, you might want to, just in case they drop the card or confused, another touch point. But at some point it becomes, you know, if you offer that, then of course they need to respond.
And the rent, of course, is not a thing that we can control, but certainly the physical condition.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, Kathy. Great. So then,
Can I just, Laura, thank you for bringing that up. Those public comments that we received last meeting were pretty strong, and I really do appreciate that you could send out a out-of-cycle or complaint-based inspection. I think that's a good tool to have. So thank you for, one, I didn't know about that, so speaking to it, and then, two, just making that available. I think that's the right way to serve the residents, and they should be able to follow up on that. It really is what they said it was.
Right. Especially since we had that delay that no one had control over of the, so now I think it's even, well, it's always been important, but it's really important that you have that, because their inspection might have been 6 years ago now or something.
Yeah, and knowing the depth of the challenges that we've seen before, and then, yes, and some where there's not an issue, being confident enough to know that you can actually complain and something will be done about it, and that you have agency to do so, versus, I mean, even feeling responsible for all the other folks that are in there and you not wanting to rock the boat. I think we saw a share of that before as well. So I just think having that complaint-based approach and demystifying it a little bit is good, because even as a renter, I knew my rights. And like I said, I've lived in four different complexes, and I've had ones that said, well, we'll take care of it, never took care of it. I've had ones that said, you know, well, your rent's going to go up. Have ones that said that this is actually really not a problem. Nobody else is complaining. Why are you complaining? So, I mean, these are all things.
That might be why they're not.
It's also important that we're seen as fair and impartial by the landlords, too, because sometimes we've gone in and people are just flushing a lot of things they shouldn't be down the toilet. And so their toilet's backing up, but it's not necessarily a landlord problem to deal with. And so we really do try to figure out where the solution is.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and either way, you need to fix it, right? Whether the person needs to change their behavior or whatever, it needs to change. So, and that's what you're there for, is to mediate. Yeah, and correct the problem, get the problem corrected the way that it should be corrected. Yeah. So the other thing that I wanted to talk about was mentioned by, I think, both my fellow committee members, and that is the permit process review. I think the sooner that we get going on that, the better, because of all the things that are going to be going on in the state legislature. And why I'm saying that is I want to just read some excerpts from, this came from the Seattle Chamber of Commerce, and I sent it to you. I don't know if you guys saw it or not, because I sent it pretty late today. But they're talking about, so this chamber is talking about tackling housing affordable crisis or the housing crisis. And again, so you know that they're trying to do the same thing. They're trying to be proactive and make sure that there aren't too many mandates coming down from the state. And so there's a list of things that they talked about. And one was the updating the zoning, which is not, that is part of the first thing we talked about. Updating zoning, more types of housing, which we're doing with our grant. And then the streamlining of permitting. So what they said, I'm just going to share what they said. Streamlining of permitting, reform design review to look at requirements, anything that adds time and adds cost that gets passed on to the buyer renter, and reviewing our approach to building codes to ensure that every requirement is important. So I thought I'd say it so you could hear. So this is what is coming out of there. This is going to take a lot of time. I don't know how much of, I don't know how much of a revamp it means for, or if it means a tweak or a revamp or what it would mean for Sequoia. This type of thing, not this specifically. So, and that is why I think we should start sooner rather than later.
So I think there's probably two specific things out of that. One is, I know there's been a desire to look at some of our uncommon building and fire code regulations. Now that we're part of the Puget Sound RFA, there was some desire to look at our requirements compared to the other cities in the RFA and see whether there's some alignment. Like, we have a much higher sprinkler requirement.
Mm-hmm.
And are we more or less safe than our neighbors? Is that a worthwhile thing to mm-hmm. have? So that's a conversation to have. And then there is the design review question, especially if we're really trying to encourage more multifamily housing. A lot of developers feel that it's it adds a lot of time and uncertainty, and many cities either don't have it or only have administrative rather than a board. And so that's a policy question to consider, the value that we're getting out of the current process.
So, Yusan, we talked about the design review question in this committee last time Tom and I were on it, and Cynthia, and we said we didn't want to talk about it right now, but I think what's going to happen, the state's just going to take it off.
They may prevent this.
Yeah, I think, because that one, they seem to have a lot of, a lot of steam on that one of removing that. So that might just be, that might just go on its own. So I don't know how much, that's another thing. I don't know how much time we need to spend on it when it's sort of a freight train going down the track, but I'm not sure. So there again, it's like, what's the legislator doing? Do we want to spend a lot of time deciding, thinking, or do we want to just let it happen there? I mean, if it happens, then it does, right? We don't have a choice. So.
And I don't see us really tackling it before the end of the legislative session anyway. So
yeah.
We may as well just kind of see.
Yeah, absolutely. So those were that. So I wanted to bring that up. And then there was another thing that this is just totally off topic, but I've been trying to say this and I haven't been very articulate about it. This has to do with housing. So we're now back to housing. It's talking about solutions for housing. The private sector has a role to play too, including launching initiatives to support affordable housing by how banks provide loans, how houses are appraised, and how we create opportunities for wealth. So it's not all on one area. And this was talked about when I went to the legislative session at the very beginning of this month. And a loan officer stood up and she said, we're just these banks and they're just sitting back collecting the bucks right now because of these houses. And they can, I don't know if it means they could do a lower percentage and still make money or how that works, but they need to be part of the solution too. And that, again, I'm just throwing that in there. Yeah.
The two quick things about the housing thing.
Uh-huh.
Just talking to the mayor of Redmond.
Uh-huh.
They have approved kind of minimal housing requirements throughout the whole city, and nobody's built anything. So
because
no one knows why. And
is it too onerous?
No, it's they have been lobbied to do certain things, and they did them, and then no one has built them. So it can be speculation or whatever. I guess the last thing, Nora, since you're here, mm-hmm. like if there are things that, whether it's how do you present information, like if there are things that you think the council should be a little bit more proficient on, and like here are all the considerations when we talk about this and this, because I know we've said things and things keep coming up. So if there are ways for us to be super proficient in our processes, because sometimes we'll be familiar with the thing, we'll ask about it, and then we'll kind of want to change it, and or there was a policy discussion around it. But if there are ways that we can also streamline as policymakers to be to be direct about maybe some of the things that we'd like to see gain some momentum, that would be helpful too, right? It's a two-way conversation. And I think this committee can be very helpful because you have many years of experience and many issues that we've tackled, many comp plans we've done. So I would just like to offer that.
Yeah, and you can present it as a proposal, because then, you know, we could say, or yeah, or, you know, whatever. But you're just proposing things for us. That would be a good way to do it, as Councilmember Krim was saying. Just say, it would be helpful if blah, 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 blah. And then, you know, that's a, because I know you're proposing something.
Yeah. Correct. I'm not sure, like, hope you guys want to compromise where you were, but this is
yeah.
the thing that actually
yeah.
still could work.
Yeah, we need to be open to that. So, yeah. Okay. Then, any other discussion? Have anything? Director Girl? Anything, Tom? Anything, Laurel?
No, thank you.
Anything for the good of the order, as they say? No miscellaneous? We are adjourned then. Thank you very much.